could save a wretch like me.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How are you doing, Daniel?
Doing good. I took a couple handfuls of sticky rice out of the rice cooker and just chomped on them. That made me feel a little better. Still feeling like I could have a fever. I don't know. Could just be nursing a hangover. I don't know. I'm scared like everybody else is, Adam, but you know what? I'm just excited that we're keeping up with some normalcy. And being on this podcast, being sad is normal, right, Adam? How are you doing?
Daniel, I am actually, I'm less anxious than I usually am, I feel like, because I kind of vibrate at a high anxiety anyway, and being able to watch the rest of the world freak out makes me feel more calm. I'm like, yeah, you see, things are crazy. I saw someone, you know, Twitter's ablaze with people freaking out, and they were talking about in Italy that it's unprecedented. There are all these deaths in Italy, and it's terrifying. It's like nothing they've ever seen before. You know, it's such a huge disaster. And I'm like, yeah, except for the fact that there's currently genocide happening and, like, terrible civil wars in places like Syria. It's like, yeah, this happens all the time, just not as often to a quote-unquote civilized mm-hmm. or major countries. So, Daniel, my point is, it's nice to see everybody else in a panic. Makes me feel more normal.
Yeah, that is a good thing. I like seeing everybody else suffer just a little bit. That's nice.
One of the few people on this earth I wouldn't wish suffering upon is with us here today, our good friend Schaefer.
He's on the pod today.
Hey, everybody, what's up? How's it going? I was listening to what you guys were saying. Personally, it makes me really sad because that means all the job providers in the world are actually the ones being hurt right now, and that's what's upsetting to me. You know, it's the people who really, you know, make the world go, and that's that's what's bad. You know.
Well, I think a lot of big business is actually laughing all the way to the bank right now because they know all the moms and pops aren't going to be able to survive a month or two without business, and they're going to be just fine. Baby.
Well, Charmin.
Buy that Walmart stock now.
Charmin surely is.
Yeah, it's a good time. Wish I would have bought up some Target stock. Some Target stock would be probably blowing up right now.
You think so? Think that Target's the way to go?
I'm a fucking idiot.
I had a dream last night that my mom she was like, Schaefer, now's the time. This is the time we got to buy up a bunch of like Amazon stock. She was like, we got to buy up all this stock and roll the dice. And I was like, I don't know, Mom. That sounds like a bad idea. She's like, no, this is it. This is it. Go.
I think maybe you should listen, man.
No,
like I
actually,
said,
stock
a lot
is...
of small business is going to be gone. A lot of people are going to be ordering things to their house right now. You know, boys, in this this time of pandemic, we're all working on our own food supplies. Well, in the Bible, Moses and his people had fled Egypt with, you know, the supplies they had carried. But I think we're going to find out in this chapter, Exodus 16, that they're also running low on supplies mm-hmm. and wondering how they're going to make it through the foreseeable future. We're right in tune with these fellers. And how do you, what's the female form of feller?
Feline.
Fellers and felines. Yeah, I'm concerned that's not yeah. Anyway, the Hebrews are in the desert, and you mind if we jump into the Bible, y'all?
Let's do it. Let's get in it.
All right, Exodus chapter 16. I'm reading from the New International Version. I've got a title here, Manna and Quail. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. Is that Sinai?
Yeah, I'm going with Sinai.
Yeah, Sinai.
I don't think it is, because Mount Sinai is spelled different.
Is it?
We can look up the famous hospital Cedars Sinai.
Yeah.
No, that is Sinai. I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to say Sinai. Which is the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Man. People aren't happy.
Yeah, the Israelites are tough to... Sometimes they're tough, you know, to make happy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they had pots of meat. They never talked about that side of the Egypt story.
Yeah. I was about to say, were they really sitting around pots of meat? I thought it was, like, really hard times for them back there.
I think it's a grass is greener situation.
Yeah.
These fools. Well, I mean, you know, I guess it does... It does suck being stranded in the desert, from what I've heard. It really sucks.
From what you've been told.
Yeah.
This is verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Okay, so it seems like Moses is shaming them for, you know, complaining to him and Aaron, but also saying that you're actually grumbling to God and it's working.
Yeah.
So he's like, kind of like, stop complaining, but also now we have bread and meat.
Yeah. Can I, sorry listeners, but can I ask a real quick, who's Aaron?
Aaron is Moses's brother and cohort.
Okay, I forget him in the story. I feel like sometimes.
Yeah, he's largely left out of the popularized story, and it's famous. We say in the Prince of Egypt, which we sometimes talk about, he's actually made kind of like a, he's not like an antagonist, but just kind of like a dissenting figure. Like he's always given Moses some shit.
Yeah, wait, he's
played by Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, played by Jeff Goldblum, and he. Actually, through the whole Moses story, he's the one who does a lot of the magic tricks. He's the one who kind of he, even still, I think he's the one who is speaking to the Israelites. He's almost like an intermediary between Moses and the people, I think, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, he's a better public speaker, and sometimes when miracles happen, he's the one who sticks out the staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, huh. I know it's funny. I'm trying to remember him from The Prince of Egypt. He's not the like Egyptian stepbrother guy, right?
No.
Okay, yeah.
He's Moses's biological brother.
Okay, he comes in later. I think I'm remembering now. Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure that he is indeed yes, he is the brother of Moses. All right. I'm going to pick up with verse 9. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed.
Well, that was sure was kind of them.
Of people gathering?
Yeah, just as much as they needed.
No, what it's saying is that even though some people did gather a lot, I think it's saying that God is manipulating the amount that they actually have when they come home.
Oh, I see.
Because he had said earlier in the chapter that something about that, something to that effect.
Okay. Also, this is crazy. The dew is turned into what, like frosted flakes that you can eat in the morning.
Well, there's tons of discussion about what manna from heaven actually is.
Ooh.
I watched like a whole special once that was like, "We think that manna from heaven is actually psychedelic mushrooms, bro."
Yeah,
because later in the Bible, you know, like the priests gather it. And so it's like, this is what the priests were taking these magic mushrooms and getting all these visions. And,
yeah,
you know, it makes sense. It's only in the morning and it's when there's a lot of dew around, all these little mushrooms pop up.
Man, that would make it so much harder to move camp.
That's why they were lost in the desert for 40 years.
It makes sense. It makes sense now. Yep.
High
okay.
as shit on mushrooms. Yeah, no, I don't believe that. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying any of this happened at all.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I'm also not saying I think that definitely psychedelic mushrooms were manna from heaven in a historical sense.
But also we're not saying that it wasn't.
Yeah.
I got an open mind, bro.
Yeah, bro, Joe Rogan, man.
Yeah.
I do want to say that the Quest Bible says that a omer is about 3 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's a good amount of goods.
All right, I'm picking up with verse 19. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning."
Huh?
Sorry. He just means you have to eat all of it.
Now?
Eat everything you gather. Yeah.
3 pounds? Dang. Okay.
For your household. You
okay.
Know.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell.
Mm.
So Moses was angry with them. Ugh. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers, for each person. Whoa.
Yeah.
And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." Mm. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any."
Oh.
So here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
We got the Sabbath
got
in play.
Got the Sabbath. Cool.
Whole rest day. This is kind of interesting because it's like an easy way to explain the whole idea of you work for 6 days and you get 1 day off, even though their work is like literally just going and gathering the food that he's like giving them like straight to them, I guess. There's no like farming at this moment, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're still on the move.
Yeah.
All right, I'm picking up with verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna, It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey.
Mm.
Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." Whoa. That's kind of cool. Like, this is going to be some weird God food, so keep it preserved as proof.
Magic bread.
Little stash of magic, like, this is the family magic bread.
Yeah. Yes. This is the mother dough.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Maybe so. Maybe that would be a sweet Indiana Jones movie. Indiana Jones and the Jar of Manna.
He's just breaking into some bakery in San Francisco.
It's like 90-year-old Harrison Ford just like wandering around grocery stores.
I need the mother dough. Dang it.
This is verse 33. So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to the land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Verse 36, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah.
Thanks for that.
The end.
Just a little clarification there at the end.
That's
why have we not? I've never heard of this like religious relic before.
I know, yeah. That's cool. And I mean, and it definitely is. I mean, it might not be like mother dough as far as like sourdough goes, but I really do think it's referring to something like that, you know? Like
I just,
keeping some sort of starter, you know? Because you know, a lot, like, I'm sure you guys have experienced, a lot of stuff in the Bible does relate to, like, this is also just kind of how you should live your life to, like, live, right? Mm-hmm. Like practically. Like, keep some of this manna, this starter dough, because it's going to, like, you don't want to make more later, you know? I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, or you know, yeah, I see it as maybe just, like, a vat of proof, or because that, like I said, it's very hotly debated. What the heck was manna? And if we still had this jar, we would know.
Yeah.
But also, it's weird that they went ahead and did it now when they still got 40 years left.
Yeah,
they could
have
grabbed some at the end instead of carrying the one jar around. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe that's why it doesn't exist.
Well, now here at the end, here at the end, is that like a time jump? Are they saying like, this is what happened, and for 40 years they just did this?
No, I don't think we're going to jump straight to 40 years past. I think the Bible is just saying, just so you know, for the rest of the 40 years they're eating manna. But I don't think we're going to suddenly be at the border of Canaan, because we haven't even gotten the Ten Commandments yet.
Yeah, you're right.
Now they're just saying that, keep this and it will basically give you food for generations to come. It's not saying it will like keep you alive, like as you are for that amount of time, right? Like it's not so magical that it'll like make you immortal or anything like that.
No, no. And I mean, they're just keeping it as a relic. There's still manna on the ground.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's still fresh manna. It's just like, it specifically says, keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat. So God is pretty, you know, explicitly being like, you know, just show this off in 200 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cause it'll be cool.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. This is pretty rad, huh? People are going to think this is cool later.
I love that they're wandering around in the desert of sin.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Prince of Persia level.
Yeah, or...
just like pass over that.
Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The desert of sin. I want to see...
You guys want to rate this chapter? Oh, sorry.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, I want to see the desert of sin in like a drawn map at the beginning of a fantasy book. You know, like, right. Yeah.
You know, that would be really cool to make a map of the Bible,
yeah,
like just pieced together from what's written.
Yeah.
To try to like,
don't relate it to what we know of the earth or like countries or anything.
Yeah.
Just write
yeah.
it as yeah. it's written. Yeah, that would be cool.
There's still that flaming sword marching in front of the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, so we've got that lightsaber out there.
That's still there, huh? Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess is the and the garden's still there somewhere too, huh?
And it'll cut you.
Well, how are we gonna rate this thing, boys? 1 to 5 stars. All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm gonna give this one 3.5 stars. Man is very important, but look, like I said, we're coming off of some hot chapters. So I just gotta. I'm not setting this one too high. Not that much happens beyond mana, and you know the revelation of this cool relic of this jar of bread that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
So forget the Shroud of Turin. I want the can of bread.
You go, Schaefer.
I think mana is cool. I like mana. I was reminded of who Aaron is in this, and sorry, I'm just scanning through again. I mean, I like this, you know. Yeah, I like, you know. I also learned what an Omer is, you know, the food turning to maggots and stuff. I don't know. There's some pretty cool like God interact. I mean, I know that you guys have gone off of a bunch of stuff, but I'm just really excited because there's so much interacting with God, like physically, that's happening right now. And I haven't read all the plagues and stuff that you guys had, so I'm giving this a 4.
Solid score. I mean, yeah, though this is a good one. And also, there's a small thing in here. I don't know what the fuck's happening, but they say he put this jar of bread. He put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law. So I don't know what that's supposed to be, but that's pretty
badass.
It could be
the Ten Commandments, or it could be the proto Ten Commandments, or it could be the actual Ten Commandments, since now they're throwing out the 40 years here, you know, like they could just be mentioning that ahead of them being a thing.
Yeah.
The timeline is wonky.
It's like, I feel like it's like an old stone vault that they're putting the Ten Commandments in this dough in. I like this one. I'm giving it a 4.0. I liked it. Dug it.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, the bread tastes like wafers made with honey. Come on.
Mm.
Delicious.
Yummy. Who doesn't love a good Nilla wafer?
John the Baptist, when he shows up, he lives only on locusts and honey.
Dude, seriously?
Pretty cool diet. Yeah, John the Baptist is super rad. He's like a crazy man with matted hair who lives in a cave and eats locusts and honey,
nice.
If I remember correctly.
Nice.
Doesn't he lose his head at some point?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of those people get murdered later. Well, Daniel,
what it was,
you
want to
take us out? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to bring something up. This was a fun one. Another great podcast. More Bible to come.
Well, you're not going to bring up what you were going to bring up. You got to bring it up now.
Oh, no, I didn't have anything. I was trying to buy time.
Okay, all right. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
But thanks for listening. Follow us at Hosted Pod on Instagrams, because we are part of the Hosted Pod group of fellers and people of all like, and where you can find the podcast. You can find my show where I sculpt. I sculpted a little man the other day with boobies for eyes. So there's fun stuff like that happening. You also have Schaefer, Lightning Hot with Schaefer, where he cooks great food and chats. And has fun cooking on Fridays.
Sometimes accidentally plays licensed music and makes it to where a video can't be edited and used on YouTube.
Wait, did you just say 8? Because I thought it was a 6:30 p.m. PST.
Oh, so, yeah, I'm sorry. I mixed up. It's at 6:30 Pacific time.
Yes.
I'm starting to remember why I do that.
And send us emails about how great I am to hostedpod@gmail.com. We get flooded with emails each week with fans telling us how great we are. We're just lousy with emails.
Hey, in realness, have you guys gotten any fan emails?
No.
Okay.
No, not a one. It's amazing because our numbers have gone way, way up, but we still have not reached the threshold of one actually engaged fan.
Oh, dang it. Well, you do have one.
Who's
you,
that?
You talked to her at the karate match.
Oh, yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
Hello. Sorry, I don't remember your name. Hello, if you're listening.
No, yes, Harrison's family is fantastic.
Yeah, Harrison's family.
But, I mean, we always aspired to be just something you listen to on the way to Target, and I think we're there.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, y'all.
Awesome, yeah. And we'll be back again for more Bible stuff. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.